Welcome to the Rich Thoughts Podcast, where our goal is to glorify God and terrify the devil. Get ready. It's going to be a great journey.
Welcome to Sunday Night Live.
I'm Harold Herring, and this is my fine wife, Beth. And this is not just any Sunday.
That's true.
Our youngest grand sugar was born a year ago today.
Today.
Symphony Joy Prejean turned a year.
Today. And today. She was born about 15 or 20 minutes ago, a year ago.
And you were there.
And I was there.
Hallelujah.
So that God is good.
Yes, he
and
is.
And she is a doll baby. But what can I say?
She's going to be here in 16 days. That's
I know.
What I'm saying.
That's exactly right. So tonight, we challenge you.
I'm just thinking about talking about Symphony Joy. She's the happiest baby I've ever seen. Okay. Seven challenges. Think about these. We challenge you to dream, think, and act bigger than you've ever done before. We challenge you to allow the mind of Christ to function fully and freely within you. Number three, we challenge you to lead and inspire others no matter who they are. Number four, we challenge you to build character instead of being one. Number five, we challenge you to give, share, and bless others. Number six, we challenge you to encourage someone every day. Now that's actually a scriptural directive. That we're to
all of
somebody.
These are a lot of scriptural directives.
Yeah.
So,
number seven.
That's it.
We challenge you to be the kind of person who will one day hear, "Well done, my good and faithful servant."
Amen. And you will be.
And you will be. Think about these seven. Make notes on them. And ask God to show you ways that you can improve in areas where you need to improve,
and we'll talk about them.
We will.
Right now.
Right here, right now.
Mm-hmm.
I like you.
Right here,
right now. First, we challenge you to dream big.
Yes.
I remember years ago when you and I met George Foreman, the heavyweight champion, and what's his grill called?
The George Foreman Grill.
He was a really nice guy, very friendly, and he was delightful.
Yeah.
He really was. He had us a quote that I really like. It says, "If you don't dream, you might as well be dead." If you don't have a dream, maybe it's because you need to be taught how to be a dreamer.
That's it.
You know, there's a scripture where it talks about what Joseph's brother said when Joseph came walking up. I said, "Here comes a dreamer." For me, that'd be the highest compliment anybody could pay me. That I'm a dreamer. I'm a dreamer. Do you remember dreaming as a kid? You know, if you do, have you stopped?
Mm-hmm.
If you did stop, when and why? And it's time to reignite it again. Or are you living your dream now?
That's
well, if
question.
You're healthy and all that, you got a lot to be thankful for.
That's right.
Something to dream about. Some people don't.
The ability to be able to go after your dreams.
And if you're not living a dream now, again, the question comes up, why not?
That's it.
And what can you do about it?
That's right.
People get too hung up because things, well, mine's not going this way, it's not going that way. Stop talking about what it's not doing. And begin praise God for what you are doing. What you can do,
mm-hmm.
and move in the right direction.
That's right.
Don't look at the negative. You know, think about the positive. And ask God, say, "Lord, I know that you want me to go and, to move a different direction." So.
Be open and get ready.
Yeah. We listened to a good sermon this morning by Pastor Joel Osteen, and he was talking about payback. You know,
the devil pay you back. Well, you know what? God, if you're faithful, that's what he's really talking about. If
you
are faithful, that God will make sure that you get.
There's some areas. It was a really good teaching. Some areas that I think I would mention more. I may even do a teaching on that.
Well, we've done teachings on those. Yeah, I mean, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
So we could have preached that sermon too. He just preached it in a different way.
Nothing in your life is going to change until either you or somebody around you forces you to change. Whereas you got to do it.
And you, if you want to go somewhere positive, you know, then you need to make up your mind and not wait for something forced to come, like you lose your job or all of a sudden you've got to change. You be the one who's in charge of your destiny.
If you accept these challenges and you purpose in your heart to change, then you can create
your own
destiny.
Exactly.
Otherwise, the circumstances of your life
are
going to toss you about to and fro.
That's
right. That's what it's going to do.
Mm.
When you have a dream, your want to
turns
into your have to.
Yeah, I have to do it.
Yep. We even have an acronym for dream.
Yay.
D, develop specific goals with daily timelines to make your dreams come true. The difference between having a dream and not having one is like the difference between a treadmill and an escalator. You can walk up sweat on a treadmill, but it's not taking you anywhere.
That's right. Or you can walk and run just as hard as you can, but you're still not going anywhere.
That's exactly right. Ever a dream without a plan? Just a wish.
That's right.
Just a wish. In fact, you need to write that down so you can remember it.
That's a good one
to remember. Put it in the notes. If you don't have a dream without a plan, it's
just a wish. In Philippians 3, verses 13 and 14, Classic Amplified, Paul says, I do not consider, brethren, that I have captured and made it my own yet. But one thing I do, it is my one aspiration, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press toward the goal to win the supreme and heavenly prize to which God in Christ Jesus is calling us upward. And notice how he says calling us. God has put in every one of us a dream, and it should be our, as he says in the scripture, my one aspiration is to find that dream and fulfill it.
You may be in a difficult marriage. You may be from a dysfunctional family. But the point is, nobody can take your dream away.
That's right.
Unless you allow them to.
Mm.
You may go through difficult circumstances, but with God on your side, you're going to win every time.
Nothing is impossible.
That was D. R, recognize and remove obstacles you need to overcome.
1 John 5, love it. 1 John 5, verses 4 and 5. This is also in the Classic Amplified. For whatever is born of God is victorious over the world. That ought to be something we write down. For whatever is born of God is victorious over the world. And this is the victory that conquers the world, even our faith. Who is it that is victorious over, that conquers the world? But he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God, who adheres to, trusts in, and relies on that fact.
Recognize the absolute necessity of having God direct your path and overcoming roadblocks, detours, potholes, and all the rest.
That's right.
And here's something else. You need to learn to accept temporary mistakes, detours, and disappointments. It's just that.
Temporary.
Learn from every mistake.
And
move forward. No looking back. And no blaming anybody else. If you spend time blaming other people, you're wasting time that you could be using to turn things around.
That's right. Psalm 34:19. This in the New Century Version, promises. I like that.
This is a great scripture.
People who do what is right may have many problems, but the Lord will solve them all.
Who's going to solve your problem? The Lord.
That's right. When you're doing right, when you're faithful, we talked about that just a second ago.
E.
D-R-E.
Empower your efforts by feeding your mind a proper diet of inspiration, information, and motivation.
Hallelujah.
How do you get wisdom, knowledge, understanding, and skill as a dreamer? Same way everybody else does. You ask for it, you seek it, and you'll find it.
That's right. I love the translation of Matthew 7:7 in the Classic Amplified Bible, because it amplifies what's being said here. It says, keep on asking, and it will be given you. Keep on seeking, and you will find. Keep on knocking reverently, and the door will be opened to you.
Hallelujah.
It is a continual process of seeking, asking, seeking, and knocking until it's open.
Amen.
D-R-E-A.
Won't you do A?
Activate Ephesians 6:8 by blessing others so God will be in the position to bless you. Ephesians 6:8 says, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive from the Lord, whether he be bond or free. And I think it's significant, honey, in this. It says, whether he be bond or free. There were people who were in bondage back then, and yet they were promised this. It is not something that circumstances can hold you back.
The parallel to that is some of your circumstances may have you in bondage.
That's right.
But this says, whether bond
or free. So God has no asterisk that says, well, only if the circumstances are just right. So if the point is, if you want your dreams to come true, you need to ask God to use you to help other people and make their dreams come true.
And you need
be a blessing.
And you need to write down this sentence. Preparation time is never wasted time.
That's right. If you're not in the position you think you need to be, then you are just preparing for that right now. And the thing is to be faithful in it. D-R-E-A.
M. Move into strategic alliances with people who motivate you beyond your comfort zone.
Mm.
Ask yourself, who motivates you to think in terms of possibilities instead of problems?
That's good.
Who provokes you to look for opportunities instead of reasons to fail? Who exhorts, encourages, and edifies you to be more and do more than you previously thought possible? These are the folks that you form a strategic alliance with.
That's right. In Exodus 18:21, the Message Bible says, and then you need to keep a sharp eye out for competent men, men who fear God, men of integrity, men who are incorruptible, and appoint them as leaders over groups organized by thousands, by the hundreds, by 50, and by 10. Getting rid of the incorrigible ones and get the incorruptible ones.
That was number one.
That's just number one.
Number two.
Second.
We challenge you to never accept things the way they are.
That's right.
It's called a comfort zone. When you settle into a nice little routine. And a lot of people do it because as long as they got enough money to pay their bills, take a vacation, then they're happy. But if they ever hit a bump, different story.
Hmm. But it also makes you feel unchallenged, right?
Yeah, and you should never feel threatened.
No.
But you do need to challenge yourself.
That's right.
Be back over those seven challenges we began with.
Hmm.
It's important to know what's expected of you, and you'll do just that. Some people do just that, no more, no less.
They're not moving on up.
Not moving on. They're staying where they are.
Mm-hmm. But God is always preparing us, or should always be preparing us, for the next level.
You may view yourself as an ordinary person, who does ordinary things, and some people are okay with that. But that's not what God wants us. He wants us stretching.
That's right.
To be able to do more. And some people, I had a man tell me one time at a seminar, he said, you know, all I need is enough money for me and my family. And I said, you really believe that? He said, yep. I said, that's going to make you the most selfish man I've ever met in my life. And also an unscriptural man. Because the Bible says, we care for the widows and the orphans. We care for the poor. If you're not doing any of that, it's selfish and unscriptural. And you need to go home and repent and ask God to help you move another way. Woo. Don't ever get comfortable.
Well, every day if you're in the Word, God is leading you to a new level anyway. He will provoke you. He will stir up that nest and sometimes even kick you out of it. In Colossians 3:17, in the Classic Amplified, it says, "And whatever you do, no matter what it is, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus in dependence upon his person, giving praise to God the Father through him." Now, does that sound like God wants you to just get by and be average? The average Joe or the average Jane? We don't think so. In Colossians 3, verses 23 and 24, in the Classic Amplified, it says, "Whatever may be your task, work at it heartily from the soul." Not mediocre. That's heartily from the soul. "As something done for the Lord and not for men." Now, I want to stop on that one. I got another one to read. But the point of it is if you're in a position at work, are you doing this just to get by with your supervisor or your boss or whatever, you know, your answer? Or are you doing it to let the Lord know that you have done the best job that you know how to get, you know, the job done? If you change your perspective off your supervisor to the Lord, it changes everything.
He's the one doing your yearly review.
Yeah, technically, you're right. Because if you read Psalm 75, you'll have your eyes open on that one. It says in 24, "Knowing that with all certainty that it is from the Lord and not from men that you will receive the inheritance, which is your real reward. The one whom you are actually serving is the Lord Christ, the Messiah." Wow. That
strong.
Is strong if you need to remember it, not just say, well, not want to forget it. You need to remember that one.
Whatever your task may be, work at it heartily. Mm. That's something done for the Lord.
So what does the Lord want?
Our best.
That's it. And then in Romans 2, verse 7 and 8, in the Message Bible, it says, "Make no mistake. In the end, you get what's coming to you." Think of that. "Real life for those who work on God's side, and to those who insist on getting their own way and taking the path of least resistance, fire." Whoa.
Maybe it's time for us to get fired up.
That's it.
So he doesn't fire us up in eternity.
That's it.
Yeah, I'd rather be fired up now than fired up in eternity.
That's it.
Number three, we challenge you to ignore limitations. If you've ever made any of the following three statements, God wants you to know something tonight and every day. You have no limitations. People say, you know, this is a large organization or company I'm working for, and one person can't make a difference. Or ideas and suggestions are only valued from people at the higher levels in management. They don't, not interested in my suggestions. Or maybe how about this? I don't know everything, and sometimes I'm wrong.
That's just about everybody in the, well, it is everybody in the entire
world. You need to have
world.
A mental, if yeah. you say those kind of things, a mental rotor-rooter. You need to just get out all that old nasty stuff, nasty thinking, and put the positive thinking in.
That's right.
I never heard that before, mental rotor-rooter.
That's quite graphic. You know, we knew a lady once who worked at a very well-known daycare, and she came up with some incredible ideas. I mean, that they could have, you know, and her supervisor, I mean, she just worked in the daycare section, and her supervisor just pushed them aside, said, you know, like they weren't interested at all. She finally quit there and started this whole program in another one, and the president of that company.
Well, she started a new daycare, implementing all those things that she talked about. And she went and expanded rapidly. Go ahead.
And the president of the company where she had been working came and bought it for several million dollars.
$3.5 million.
And he said, you know, it'd have been a lot less expensive on me if the supervisor of you had just listened to your ideas. So you never know what implementation that you can, they live in
exactly
Oklahoma.
Right.
Anyway, amazing.
I'm going to tell you, one of my favorite stories.
Yeah.
I've told it. I tell it from time to time. But it's the story of Johnny the Bagger.
That's it.
Truly one of my favorite stories.
And a true story. You can Google it.
And when I hear this, read it, first time I ever did, I literally cried. But since then, I tear up sometimes just thinking about it. A woman named Barbara Glantz, G-L-A-N-Z, motivational speaker. She spoke to this. She had been contracted to speak at this chain of grocery stores. Mm-hmm. And she went to this one store, you know, because her goal was to build customer unity, loyalty. She told the staff to look for something to make their mark on customers who come in the store. As she left, after she left, a Down syndrome bagger named Johnny got to thinking. At first he didn't feel he could contribute. But after some thinking, he got his father to type up his thought for the day, Johnny's thought for the day. They made multiple copies. They cut them into little squares. And Johnny began taking them to work. And what he would do...
when he was bagging groceries.
He'd put one of those in. Well, after about a month, the store manager couldn't understand why people didn't go to the shorter lines in the grocery store. They were all in the longest line, which is the one where Johnny was the bagger. And the manager walked up. I mean, there's like three times as many people. And he started asking folks, why are you in this line? They said, we want to get Johnny's thought for the day. And he kept on doing.
And this one elderly lady said, I used to come to the grocery store once a week, but now I come every day because I just want to be able to get Johnny's thought for the day.
As time passed, others picked up on what Johnny did.
That's right.
The florist began to give broken flowers to little girls, pin corsages that weren't picked up on elderly ladies visiting the store. And in that area, kindness kind of broke out everywhere.
That's it.
All started by a young man with Down syndrome.
That's it.
And some people would say he couldn't make a difference, but he made a difference.
A huge difference.
Not only in that store and those people, but literally millions of people.
Yeah, who've read the story now.
Who've read the story now.
That's it.
In fact, you can go to YouTube and search for Johnny the Bagger.
Mm-hmm. The only limitations we have are the ones we place on ourselves. And if we are not willing to think it through, say, Lord, you know, if you just write it off, you're never going to be able to come up with the idea that God is waiting to put into your spirit. In Proverbs 4, verse 23, we have some of the best advice given. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. And according to Strong's Concordance, the Hebrew word for issues is H8444, and is really a real estate term, and it means borders and parameters. So your heart literally sets the borders or the parameters of where you're going to go in life. It depends on your heart, not outside circumstances. They don't set that border. What's in your heart is what sets the borders and determines the course of our lives. I love the New Living Translation of Proverbs 4:23 because it says it this way. Guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life.
And, of course, we'd recommend to you that you get my book, Borders Without Limitations.
Yeah, that's how it was all born. And that's another thing that really it sprang from. This learning, this rhema, turned into a book.
And by the way, is that still on through tonight, Stephen? The Cyber Week. Through tonight. You can go to the website, order that book for $5.
There you go.
Plus $2.50 shipping. Yeah. Ends tonight.
So don't miss it. At Borders Without Limitations, fabulous book. Of course, every book I edit for Harold, I always think is the best one yet. But that is an exceptional book. If you want to take the limits off, that'll help you.
It will.
Fourth. You want to jump in there? Fourth, yeah. We challenge you to reject the fear of failure. Quote, fear.
Hmm? Just kidding.
Well, I thought you wanted that's to because that's what you went to.
Fourth, we challenge you to reject the fear of failure, what you just said.
That's it.
You know, some people never take risk because they have a fear of failure.
Joshua 8:1 says, and the Lord said unto Joshua, fear not. He says that a lot. Fear not, neither be thou dismayed. Take all the people of war with thee. Arise, go up.
Seven keys to overcoming failure.
First, accept mistakes, because you're going to make them. Accept your mistakes.
Second, stop trying too hard.
Third, ask God to help you in overcoming that fear of failure.
Fourth, look at what went wrong as a learning experience.
And fifth, learn.
Well, let me say this first. Everybody makes mistakes.
That's it.
And the average millionaire went bankrupt 3.5 times before they made it.
That's right. Think of that. And fifth, you need to learn when to say no, when it's time to say no. But
you know, learning to say no is important. Because there's some people, if they know you make things happen, they're always going to be asking you to do it.
Yeah, but this is overcoming fear of failure.
I know.
So sometimes you want to say no, but you need to know when to say no. And then six says you need to know when to say yes, even if you're fearful.
Seven, remember fear is the devil's anointing for failure.
That's right.
The only way to change your mind about failure is to change your mind about how you view it.
There you go, and that is the crux of the matter. Ephesians 3:12, Classic Amplified. In whom, because of our faith in him, we dare to have the boldness, courage, and confidence of free access, an unreserved approach to God with freedom and without fear. So where does that freedom without fear come from? The Word of God and our relationship with him.
And our confidence is born in faith.
That's right.
He gives us a bonus.
That's right.
And knowing we can achieve anything, regardless of the circumstances.
If God's in it.
Or the obstacles.
You'll be overcoming it.
And that's it. Because fear flees when confidence in God's Word shows up.
Amen.
It flees.
Fifth, I don't know, don't pass that to me now. Fifth, we challenge you to do what you've never done before.
We challenge you to color outside the lines.
Yep, we challenge you to explore previously unknown opportunities. Maybe you've been thinking about them.
We challenge you to think outside the box.
We challenge you to dream bigger by going deeper in the promises of the Word of God.
We challenge you to consider the best case scenario
instead of the worst case scenario.
Tonight,
yes,
when we found out our son was involved in an accident.
Yeah.
He's good, by the way.
Yes, praise God.
Harmed. His car got totaled, but he's good.
But he walked away.
He walked away. See, the immediate thing would be to think the worst case scenario, what's happening.
But the best case scenario is to go, Lord, it is in your hands. You are not wringing your hands in heaven going, oh, I didn't know this was going to happen tonight. God knows everything, and he can take what was meant for evil and work it to good.
Hallelujah.
Amen and hallelujah for that.
What's the best case scenario you can hope for? If every decision you make is the right one.
Yeah.
What will be the end result?
And as you visualize a reality of the success, is it what you desire it to be? In other words, you're setting your goals. And then you must see how it is
before
it will be. That's right. Before it'll ever be there.
You need to write that down too. You must see how it is before it ever will be.
Yeah. Everything that was ever made was designed ahead of time.
We need to determine if the worst case scenario is worth the risk.
That's right.
As we think about the worst thing that could happen, it's important to keep this mental exercise in a scriptural perspective. Think and sit on ways you can avoid making them happen.
That's right.
Even if things go wrong, you have the assurance that God will help you no matter what. And if they do go wrong, don't go with them.
That's right. If it goes south, don't travel with it. Matthew 6:34 in the Message Bible says, God will help you deal with whatever hard things come up when the time comes.
Amen. God will help you. Need to write that down. God will help me. God will help me.
Amen. He always does.
Say that. Lord, you're helping me. You're helping me get through this. In fact, you could even personalize that verse.
Mm-hmm.
God will help Joy deal with whatever hard times come up when the time comes.
That's right.
God will help Fred deal with whatever hard times come when they come up. Personalize it.
That's it.
For you. Six, we challenge you to never give up.
Ephesians 6:18 in the New Century Version says, pray in the Spirit at all times and with all kinds of prayers, asking for everything you need. To do this, you must always be ready and never give up. Always pray for all God's people.
And let me say, sometimes you may feel like you have a God idea, but it's not going the way you want.
There you go.
And you tried and you failed, you tried and you failed. Don't give up. Don't give up. When you try something and it doesn't work, that doesn't automatically make you a failure.
That's right.
That failing is an event. It's not who you are.
That's right.
It just means you get a chance to make something else work.
Amen.
A couple of examples that I've always...
And there's tons of them, really.
Are. The first assembly line automobile produced in this country was called the Model T. Reason it was Model T, models A through S didn't work.
That's right. The reason the household cleaner 409 is called 409, because it had 408 ways, it didn't work.
Same thing about WD-40.
That's it.
It was the 40th attempt by three technicians at the San Diego Rocket Chemical Company who were trying to create a water displacement compound, hence
WD-40.
Someone once said, a little persistence, a little more effort, what seemed hopeless failure may turn into a glorious success.
Hallelujah. You know, we cannot internalize our lack of success or condemn ourselves for trying something that didn't work. And most of all, you never need to give up on yourself, because I can tell you, God hasn't. In Romans 12:11, Contemporary English Version, it says, never give up. Eagerly follow the Holy Spirit and serve the Lord.
As you pray, get out in front of the battle. Begin praising God for victory.
Yes.
In the areas of life, they've been under the greatest attack.
Mm.
If you will, demonic assault. Before you, just get out in front of it before you get to victory. They sent the praisers out.
That's right.
Before the victory.
In 2 Chronicles 20:20.
Yeah. We don't praise God after the victory.
Yeah.
We praise Him before the victory.
And that brings the victory a lot of times.
Seventh, we challenge you to inspire others.
Amen.
If you're going to be successful, you will naturally, in the course of events, make those around you successful.
That's
effective
true.
Leadership is always duplicatable.
Amen. Exodus 18:20 in the Message Bible. Your job is to teach the rules and instructions to show them how to live and what to do. That was to Moses. In order to be successful in life, really, we need to have a successor, because, you know, we need to be able to train the people that are coming up under us to work effectively to handle the things, you know, that need help in achieving.
Our youngest son,
we were just talking about, is a server at an upscale Mexican restaurant.
A really good one.
Yeah, he is. And he's been asked several times to train other people because he does it so well. He serves so well and is so personable with, you know, serving, that he's been asked to train others to teach them how to do it. Matter of fact, we've even had, I have to brag on him a little bit, we've even been at a restaurant. We didn't even know this gentleman. And he said, are you, you know, Jamie Arian's son, parents, and we said yes, and he bought our meal. I mean, he gave it to us. He was a manager of this restaurant, And he said, your son taught me everything I know about serving the restaurant, and this is where I am today. That was a huge blessing.
He was the manager of that upscale restaurant.
Well, not that one, but it was another one.
Yeah.
And he was at, you know, transferred over. So I'm like, you know, but the thing about it is if you're not teaching other people, you know,
and if you're learning a new occupation, you need to learn from people who've already been successful.
There you go. Learn from the best. And not to get by, but how to
excel. And truthfully, an effective leader tries to work themselves out of a job by training, developing new leaders. When you do that, you'll be able to assume even greater areas of responsibility.
And I know people that have been trained, you know, they've trained other people and then they took over their job. But let me tell you, when you're able to do what you do and go on, you won't ever lack a job because you know what it is that you're doing. If you're good enough to train somebody else, you're good enough to get picked up by somebody else, believe me, because competent people are always in demand. Always in demand.
You'll never be out of a job.
That's right.
If you're good at what you do.
That's it.
Never.
That's what I'm saying. That's what he said. That's what I'm saying too.
You'll never be broke because good leaders are in demand.
That's it. Two powerful scriptures in Ephesians that can help guide you on your, you know, way to destiny, to your destiny, your personal destiny. You can personalize them and confess them often. First is Ephesians 3:12. I think all the scriptures in here are excellent, though. And if you're online, you can go to the bottom of the sheet, and we have it posted. This is Ephesians 3:12 in the Classic Amplified. It says, in whom, because of our faith in him, we dare to have the boldness, courage, and confidence of free access, an unreserved approach to God with freedom and without fear. We quoted that earlier, but that's a good one to keep on hand.
And when we put our faith in him, we're free to say what needs to be said. Mm. Bold enough to go where we need to go.
That's it.
To do whatever we need to do to complete our dreams.
That's it. And then Ephesians 3:20, we know it well,
in
the
this.
Classic Amplified. But this is one that I've been knowing a long time since I got saved, but it really, you could just almost study this because there's so much to get out of it. It says, now to him who by and in consequence of the action of his power that is at work within us is able to carry out his purpose and to do super abundantly. I want to wrap your mind around this. Far over and above all that we dare ask or think, infinitely beyond our highest prayers, desires, thoughts, hopes, or dreams.
Infinitely beyond.
Infinitely beyond.
Our highest prayers, desires, thoughts, hopes, or dreams.
So we haven't accomplished it yet. In that psalm that talks about expanding the borders, there's still, no matter how much you expand those borders, there's still more to be expanded in your mind and in your spirit.
My spirit's been so stirred the last 2 weeks with God showing new things that we're going to do in the Debt-Free Army in the new year.
Hallelujah. And including we're streaming. Yep. I mean, we're going to have some stuff out there.
We will very soon have a 24/7.
That's right.
Live streaming network.
Woo.
And it's going to be amazing.
God is good.
Other things. You'll get a letter from us telling you everything is going to be happening.
That's it.
In the new year.
So get ready, because we are so ready, aren't we, honey?
Amen.
Hallelujah. 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 Mm. How good is God?
Peace.
Like a river.
Peace with God.
Amen.
Well, if you've been blessed by the teaching, take your mouse, go to the top, where it says sow a seed and just ask God, what seed did have you put in the ground? Do what he says, that's all we ever ask. But as my wife would say, a seed that's kept in the barn will never bring a harvest in the field.
There you go.
So you got to sow
that seed
to receive.
And tomorrow morning at 8:30.
I want you to listen to tomorrow. Because we're going to talk about Achan.
Yeah.
And, I mean,
withholding what is not right.
What belongs
Being
to God.
Being faithful is really what it's all about. Being
cost
faithful,
him his life, his family's life. He even killed his dog. Not only did they stone him to death, but they burned him and put rocks on the bones. You don't mess around with God.
That's it.
But that seems negative, but it's actually a very positive teaching.
I was going to say, because
that's tomorrow, and then Tuesday, I'm going to do a teaching called Money Talks. And we're going to do a teaching called Money Talks. So next 2 days are good.
That's it.
Every day's good. Every day with Jesus.
That's right.
Gets
it's
better
than the day before.
Hallelujah.
Okay.
Hallelujah.
Oh, say good night, Harold.
Good night, Harold.
Okay.
I like that. Forgive me for my throat tonight. It was an attack of the enemy. But he loses and we win.
That's right.
Amen.
No matter what.
We love you. Watch around the world.
Yes, we appreciate
Take advantage of this Cyber Week sale on our books. Millionaire University. You get Millionaire University for like $14.50, including the shipping.
For whatever that's worth.
I mean, incredible deals. We've had a lot of people taking advantage of it.
It is. Last day.
Does it end at midnight? Well, it ends at midnight. Well, until tomorrow morning at 8:30 Eastern, God bless you. Happy trails.
And keep thinking rich thoughts.
We love you. We appreciate you. God bless you. Bye-bye.